All right, good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody after lunch? These are pretty comfy seats, so I hope you don't take a nap. Yeah, I know the last assembly room we were in, the lights were a lot lower so people could sleep. And just remember, if you decide you're bored and you want to leave, Karthik's got low self-esteem already, so just pretend you're taking an important phone call when you walk out. So we're hoping that the demo gods are going to be shining their light on us today. We got a lot of devices, and we need to connect back to our corporate environment to get some of the demos going. If they don't participate, we may have to be more slide-heavy than we hoped. But either way, we can take questions and stuff at the end. And if you are going to have some questions that you'd like answered and we still have time left in the room, please step up to one of the microphones. That way, it records the information that you're asking, and people who watch the video later can get the same information that you were looking for. So to start out, my name's Mark Hurley. I'm a IT service operations lead at Microsoft, responsible for Configuration Manager and the hybrid Intune connection that we use to support the PCs and all the modern devices within Microsoft globally. I focus mainly around application management, compliance settings management, and all of the UDM devices. With me today is Karthik.
Hi, everyone. I'm Karthik. I'm the senior service engineer in Microsoft IT and responsible for managing devices through Unified Device Management.
So I'm sure there's been lots of sessions that you guys have attended this week. You've probably talked. There may be some overlap and stuff. But what the point I want to make sure that you guys are aware is we are actually administrators just like you guys. We are hands-on. We're not part of the product team directly. We're not marketing. We're actually running the equipment in Microsoft, feeling all the pain points, being administrators. And so what we're sharing with you today is how we've done stuff. It's not necessarily something that will work for your business, but at least give you an idea of what we're doing, and then you can make the decision if it's something that is useful for you to take back. So we want to really focus today on how we implemented the whole BYOD, bring your own device scenario at Microsoft. We all got Windows phones and RT devices about a year ago. There's a huge influx of the internal dev teams creating modern applications for all of these Windows devices. We have iOS devices. We manage those as well. So this is really the focus of the topic that we're going to discuss today. The key takeaways that we want you to leave with is what our experience has been implementing the solution of Configuration Manager with its hybrid connection to Windows Intune. So people who already are familiar with System Center Config Manager, it's very easy to get to the next step to start managing modern devices with that connection. Some important details on things that you want to be aware of if you're going to implement BYOD in your environment from a user's perspective, because it's a new field for them as well. They're bringing their own personal devices, and they have some concerns or they have unknowns on how do I get this thing enrolled into the system. And really, the key is if you don't have internal apps or something that's going to excite the users, convincing them to enroll their device just so you can force password policies and stuff on them is not going to be good. So we're going to show you about modern applications and that. And really, it's all about making our users more productive. So giving them access to VPN and Wi-Fi profiles that push to their device as part of enrollment so they don't have to figure out all the technical components that have to be pushed to get those working. I mean, we do have a lot of technical gurus at Microsoft, but we also have administrative and HR and finance that aren't necessarily computer geniuses, and they still want to have the access to the corporate resources just like everybody else. So this session really is designed around people who kind of already have familiarity with Configuration Manager and at least an idea of what Windows Intune is. With the Configuration Manager connection to Windows Intune, we won't be managing on the Intune console. So people who've seen the web portal for managing Intune, when you connect this through Config Manager, all of your administration happens locally on your on-prem Config Manager environment. Just all the settings and everything that you do flow up to the Intune environment for the devices to communicate with. So as long as you are interested in BYOD, like to talk about modern apps and deploying stuff, and we'll even show you a few of the custom reports that we've developed, this should be interesting for you. So let's talk about our solution. The goals, we had goals set. We provide the service to Microsoft IT, but they really set the design of what the user experience should be. So they really come to us and basically say, this is what we need. Now you guys, as technical guys, go figure out how we're gonna get this done. So we really understood that when Windows 8 was released, plus all of these new devices that we have on the marketplace, that our users needed to have a way to get those supported. They all wanted email, but now they wanted apps as well, and all kinds of connection back to corp resources. So our security team, was very concerned about making sure that we safeguard these resources. Once they're on CorpNet and they have access to data, they wanted to make sure that they're at least getting a minimum set of policies and that we have a way to track these and retire them or wipe them if something ever got lost. Providing line of business apps was key. The dev teams moved really far from the standard MSI deployments that we've been doing, very few, you know, four or six in a month, to 60 or 70 modern app deployments per month on a regular cycles, and we're looking at like thousands of apps probably over the next 6 months that will be available to our end users. And all of this, we wanted to make sure this wasn't gonna cost us anymore. I don't know how many people have an open-ended IT budget, but our group does not. They scrutinize what equipment we wanna buy to host the back end. So the fact that we already manage Configuration Manager, this connection to Intune really wasn't an increase in cost for us. We didn't have to deploy out more on-prem infrastructure to support this BYOD scenario. And it, as I was mentioning, it gave you a central management point for our admins who are already familiar with Config Manager. So the UDM solution, some of you may already know, is really Configuration Manager connecting up to Intune through a subscription. And the one other component that we use for our solution is System Center Orchestrator. And for those of you who aren't familiar, it's really a workflow tool. And what we do with that, and I'll show you a little bit later on, is there's automation in the way that we publish all of our modern apps. We do it zero touch. And I had a session earlier today that some of you may have attended, but if not, it'll be available on Channel 9 or in the docs for TechEd that you can review. And it's the deep dive details on how that automation of publishing modern apps was built. And we actually give you the code so you can take it back to your lab and play around with it. So if you're interested in that, we have details at the end of the slide. So benefits of adopting the unified solution. One, we're providing users with LOB apps, which they never had access to before on these devices. We're satisfying the security team by making sure these things have a minimum set of policies, such as forcing a minimum password PIN length, making sure that the devices are encrypted. If they have removable smart cards, making sure those are encrypted, because those can always disappear easily. We let our end users connect their devices from anywhere. So this is not a Redmond-centric thing. Our offices in India and Asia Pacific, they also connect their modern devices in no matter where they're located. If they're sitting at Starbucks, we can enroll. We're gonna show you an enrollment here today. Hopefully the Wi-Fi network lets me do it, but really it's no matter where you are, as long as you're connected to the internet somehow, you can get your devices enrolled into this system. And that really gives you the access to all the corporate resources. And again, no extra infrastructure is required in order to actually make this happen. You're just purchasing a subscription into Intune and then connecting your existing Config Manager hierarchy. So in Microsoft, this really was our scope for devices for this solution. Definitely Windows 8 RT devices. Windows 8.1, and when I say non-domain joined, our domain joined machines are full-blown SCCM clients. But we do have some divisions within Microsoft that are not on our normal domain, don't want their PC fully managed, but they do want access to all of these new line of business apps. So for them, they have the ability to either their own personal machines or their corporate machines that are not managed by Config Manager to connect them as what we call non-domain join. So their full Windows 8 x86 PC would connect in through the Intune connector. It's less functionality than you would get from a full SCCM managed client, but we can still collect inventory about the machine and provide applications to them and some security settings. So that's one of the devices we looked at. And Windows Phone 8, big, 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 big. That's probably the number one device that we have in enrollment. I'll show you some numbers of what we've already got, but that is the most popular device internally for us just because of the volume of apps that the developers are releasing for it. And again, that's the key for our users. When there's devices with no apps, not a lot of enrollment. We do manage iOS devices, so iPads, iPod Touch, iPhones. Don't have a lot of applications yet, although now with the Office team releasing Office for iOS, we're going to have a lot more users internally. They're going to want to do that, so our enrollment numbers will go up. Android at this point was out of scope for us. Again, no apps, no real business driver for it. Although security has us testing it right now, I think there will be Office-related apps, other apps that the internal teams will develop. So probably by this time next year, we'll have a full-blown Android implementation. And there are a lot of Android devices within Microsoft. So the challenges for us really were, at first, any limited number of LOB apps. That really is the killer, because that's what the users want. Just like going to the Windows Store or to iTunes, the reason why we carry around these cool devices is not for work. It's for getting apps and playing Angry Birds or something else. Flappy Bird. Oh, hope that lady's okay. Are you okay? Okay, she's good. Thumbs up. So we, with these modern devices, there's a definite shift in the support model. So anybody who's an administrator used to supporting the desktop, there's not a lot of that same accessibility. This is a user's personal device. It's not on your network directly. You don't have it rights to get into it. Most of these devices don't have a really great logging system or information that you can collect from them. So that whole support model for our help desk all the way up to our engineering level team, that's something that we had to develop out. We have some guidelines on the documents that we created for help desk to push down to them. Those will be available after the session. We'll post them up on OneDrive for you guys. But one of the keys is for the users, the experience of them being able to enroll devices. Until this becomes the norm and people are used to adding their devices to all of these, you know, cloud-facing systems, we kind of had to give them a step-by-step guide saying, okay, if you're on a phone, here's exactly the buttons that you have to click and understand what it was that's supposed to happen on their machine. Because even IT guys would mess stuff up, use the wrong password, do something crazy. And of course, because you can't see the device, you're going based on what they're telling you. So it's really good to have a strong document for your environment to say, if you follow these steps like a recipe, your device will get enrolled and we should be able to provide you those apps. So here's a look at what we currently have targeted application-wise in our environment for devices that are enrolled as well as apps. So you can see 25,000, that number for phone is going up daily. We get probably 100 more devices each day. And really the driving factor for that is not users finding out that, oh, now I can enroll my device. It's really the internal dev teams releasing a new app that maybe used to be a web-based app. Now it's a nice modern app. They send an email out to a group of, you know, 500, 600 users and say, hey, there's this new app available for you that lets you do your job, such as, say, putting in your time card. So this way you can sit on the beach and tell your boss that you're sick and punch it into the time card system. These guys love apps, and once you get an explosion of apps, that's when those numbers go up. RT is kind of stabilized. I don't know how many people have used an RT device, but phone really is the popular one. RT for us really internally, there's no difference between our desktop PC and the RT device for the apps. So a lot of guys are just putting those apps on their Windows 8 desktop PC anyways. iOS number looks small. It didn't used to be quite that small. We'll talk about a learned lesson at the end of this session on why that count is as low as it is. It's not because we restrict users from enrolling and that we want to say Windows is awesome and iOS is not, but we had some certificate things that we'll talk about on why that number is low right now. It'll drift back up again over the next coming months. The LOB apps that we've published, those are really just the default counts. Those things go up. That's actually the number of apps that are currently offered to the users. The actual number of times that those apps have been revisioned over the past 6 months is in the thousands. That's why we've got some automation that we did for that. And then we can see deep link apps. How many people are familiar with what a deep link app is? And so a few of you. So what it really is the app's already published in, say, the Windows Store or the Apple Store. instead of us managing the content on our side, you can actually just have Configuration Manager host a link. And when the user sees it in your corporate company portal and they click on it, it's just redirecting them out to that location. So instead of you managing the life cycle of that app, especially because you have no control of when that's being revisioned in those public marketplaces, this way it just allows them an easy place to go inside your company, because you say, you know, Skype or OneDrive or something like that, it sends them off to the marketplace to get that content. So Karthik, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thanks, Mark. So now let's get a little deep into the technology and the steps that we took to set up UDM using Intune in Configuration Manager. So before we get into what are the steps we did to get UDM onboarding, I just want to explain how our environment looks like. We have around 300,000 desktops and around 125,000 mobile devices across the world, and we have to manage all these devices as well as the mobile devices using Configuration Manager. Though we are not there really yet for managing all these mobile devices, very sure we will be there, because we are having a big marketing campaign to get all these devices onboarded through Intune. And also we have around 100,000 FTEs and around 84,000 vendors. So we are using the user management also through Configuration Manager. And we have around 6 different sites across the globe, and all 5 of them are managing PCs specifically. And we have 1 dedicated site for device management. We did this approach because we are expecting more devices to get onboarded. We are not suggesting to go with a dedicated mobile device management site, because you can have PCs and mobile devices managed in a single Configuration Manager site. So since we are expecting more load, we wanted to keep them separate in a different site. And we have the Intune connector role set up on the CAS site. We're going to talk about each and individual steps that we took to set this up. First, we built a Configuration Manager R2 server, a primary site server, a dedicated server, site server, with the primary site and SQL Server in 2 different boxes. And then we performed the user discovery across the entire corp for us, because we want to license all users in Microsoft and enable them to enroll their devices. And luckily, we had MSODS, the Microsoft Online Directory Services, already provisioned by other services like SharePoint Online, Exchange Online. So we didn't have to go through that process, but I'll explain what you need to do when you want to onboard UDM in your Configuration Manager environment. So once we have this MSODS set up, then we work with MSIT tenant admins to get the accounts for our tenant in Intune. Then we set up the DNS redirection for enterpriseenrollment.microsoft.com to our Intune beta environment. This step is necessary for you to do the auto discovery of enrollment server. If you don't have this DNS redirection, users have to type in the server name manually to find the enrollment server on the Intune side. If you want to do the auto discovery, if this DNS redirection will take care of it. And last, we got a couple of certificates and sideloading keys and all for onboarding different types of devices. First, we got the code signing certificate, which is needed for signing all our Windows Phone 8 apps and let them install on mobile phones specifically. And for RT devices, we need the code signing certificate as well as the sideloading keys. Sideloading keys can be purchased from Volume Licensing Center if you want to get a bulk amount of sideloading keys. And for iOS, you need to log into the Apple site and using an Apple ID, and then submit a request to get the Apple push notification certificate, and then punch that in the subscription page so the devices will get trusted by Apple. So whenever Apple site, and then whenever we push something, the device will get all the information and policies from Intune. So what you need to do if you want to onboard UDM in your environment: first, have ADFS, the latest ADFS is 3.0, have ADFS implemented on your site, on your environment for single sign-on so that the users will be authenticated over the cloud and come back to the federated services and authenticated back for enrollment as well as logging to the company portal. And directory sync is a tool. You need to run that tool to get all your Active Directory user information to the cloud so that these users are available on the Intune side and get licensed and provisioned in Intune. And more information is there in the TechNet article given there. And based on your need, you can perform the user discovery on the entire forest or a particular container or a security group. Maybe you may want to go in a small scale with a security group first with a bunch of users and license them and test them and then go broader. But we started with all FTEs. First, we started with a couple of thousand users and then went broader with all FTEs. And you need to do the DNS redirection, as I mentioned in the previous slide, with enterpriseenrollment.yourcompany.com has to have a DNS redirection to enterpriseenrollment.manage.microsoft.com. Then obtain the VeriSign certificate. The code signing certificate for Windows Phone 8 has to be a VeriSign certificate, and you can get that from VeriSign, and that's the only type of certificate works currently with Windows Phone. And as mentioned before, you can get the sideloading key for Windows RT through Volume Licensing Center. And get your Apple ID and then log into Apple portal and get the Apple push notification certificate and then deploy that to all devices. This is no need to deploy separately. Once you set up the Intune subscription, it's going to automatically push the certificate to all the Apple devices. I'll show the Intune connector as well as the subscription very soon. These are the different teams that you may want to work with before onboarding. First, AD team in your organization to make sure ADFS is enabled and also MSODS and DirSync is enabled. And work with the app team to get all your apps certified for Windows Phone 8 with the code signing certificate, as well as for RT apps. And we worked with our security group to find out what kind of security policies we want to define on these devices. For example, passcode, what kind of a complex passcode we want to set up on the device, or what type of encryption we needed. So you may want to work with them. And we, for deploying VPN profiles, Wi-Fi profiles, and certificates, we work with all these individual teams to get their knowledge and expertise, and they are the one approving all these VPN profiles which need to go to all these devices. So with that, I'm going to show the screenshot of how the Intune subscription can be set up. First, in the Config Manager console, under Administration node in Cloud Services, you would see Windows Intune subscription. Right-click on it and create a new subscription. And in this page, you will be providing the information to Windows Intune to say Configuration Manager is the authority for doing all kind of management for mobile devices. So you need to provide the user ID and password after checking this box. And it will connect to Intune and set Configuration Manager as the authority for everything. And in the next screen, you will provide the collection. This is a very important piece. Whatever the collection that you have for users, all the users in the collection will be automatically licensed in Windows Intune. License means this is user-based license. Each user can enroll up to 5 different types of devices. Basically, a user can have a Windows phone and an Apple device or a Windows PC to enroll. So to support all different types of devices, a per-user license can cover up to 5 devices. And then you can say what's your company name should be there in company portal and what kind of privacy statement, if it's a URL, you can provide the URL there and the color scheme and everything. At the bottom, you can say what particular site, Config Manager site, you want all these mobile devices to communicate to. So at the end of the screen in our demo environment, this is how it looks like, the site code at the bottom and the collection at the top. Now the next screen will tell you which platform to choose. In this example, I'm going to I selected only Windows and Windows Phone 8. For Windows devices, which could be RT or a non-domain joined or a domain join too, which is which can be enrolled after, from 8.1 onwards. For code signing certificate, you can browse through the location where you downloaded the certificate and point that, and also you can provide the sideloading keys to sideload apps. And for Windows Phone 8, the certificate can be provisioned in two different ways. One is a certificate file, other one is a token file called AET. You can punch either one of that and then provide this company portal app in the subscription page. So this is a prerequisite for Windows Intune subscription. You need to have the company portal app already published and deployed, which is optional because at the end of the subscription page, it's going to deploy the portal automatically to the collection that you set up in the previous page. And you can give some information about how users can contact if there is any problem. This information will be shown in the company portal. And what kind of color scheme, and if you want to show some logo in the company portal, you can mention that here. And we have our Microsoft IT branding showing up in our company portal, which we'll be showing in our demo too. And that's it, and at the end of it, you get the summary, and then this will make the connection to Intune and have your configuration manager as an authority for all Intune connection. The next important piece is having a role called connector role, which will be working as a gateway between config manager and Intune. So any communication between configuration manager to Intune and similarly from Intune to configuration manager will be going through this connector role. And I'll be showing how to look and where to look and where to troubleshoot this connector piece. It's a simple role setup. Once it is installed, the role will take care of connecting to Intune and being communicating to Intune and CM. So I'm going to show a small demo on how to find out whether your monitoring is working fine or not. Having all this set up, everything should go fine. But if something goes wrong, the first piece that you want to check is whether users are getting licensed in that collection or not. For that, this is the demo environment. So on your configuration manager environment, on the SQL side, you can run the query on user disk, and it has a new column called cloud user ID. So in this demo environment, I have the result for the benefit, I'll zoom it. So you would see the cloud user ID for all licensed users. This will be like a GUID with the random characters, which is assigned by Intune. So if this ID is present, that means that user is licensed. And I will show another example if the user is not licensed. So this particular ID, our user is not licensed. And if a user is not licensed, it will be showing as null. It's very important to make sure that collection is intact and always having the right set of users. Because if a user is out of the collection, the Intune subscription will be automatically removed, and that particular user will not be able to enroll any device or will not be managed by at all. So in that case, so first we have to find out what is the first piece of information you need to troubleshoot this problem, any problem. So the logs are here under Configuration Manager log called Cloud User Sync. So this particular log will tell you whether the users are continuously being licensed and if there is any problem in licensing. For example, you could see that there are 5 to 6 users in our demo environment are not licensed because their UPN, user principal name, is empty. So UPN is the very key information for users to enroll. They will be just, providing the user principal name for enrollment, which Mark will be showing very soon in the demo. So if that particular information is missing in Active Directory or in Intune site, it's going to fail to do the cloud user sync and won't provide the license. Okay. And similarly, there is also 2 more components for particularly troubleshooting connector role, which is called DMP uploader and DMP downloader. DMP uploader is the one component that's going to talk to Intune and send all the information. Similarly, all the information from Intune to CM will be downloaded through the DMP downloader. Basically, if you are publishing an app, the app information will be sent through a DMP uploader. And if some inventory information is coming from Intune to CM, then that will be provided by DMP downloader. I'll just show an example how it looks like. So as you could see, there will be you could see that whether the last communication between Intune and CM has been succeeded or not in the DMP downloader or an uploader, both ways. And there are some registry keys, and also these are components on the SMS executive. You can monitor them using under monitoring node using status message queries. For example, for DMP downloader, I created this DMP downloader query, which can tell you when was the last time that the downloader worked or connected or failed or stopped in between. You can get all this information. And you can also use this information to create some alerts through SCOM. And last, you can see there are some registry keys linked to Cloud User Sync as well as DMP uploader and downloader. So in the registry on the site server, you would see a separate node. For example, if a particular admin went to the collection and removed all users from the collection, all users in that particular collection will be unlicensed. So they will not be able to enroll their devices. To stop the bleeding, you could stop the Cloud User Sync component under SMS executive thread. I'll just show that.
And don't ask how we know that.
So you can you can stop the Cloud User Sync thread so that you will stop the users not getting or users getting unlicensed. Similarly, if there is some problem of deploying too much of data and the DMP uploader is totally hosed up and you want to stop the uploader, you can stop the uploader thread under DMP uploader here. Okay. And also, there is one more registry key which I want to show, which is under components, under Cloud User Sync, which will tell you the actual Cloud User Sync schedule. For example, the schedule for Cloud User Sync is every 5 minutes, and the full sync will happen every 7 days. But don't change this setting, because even with a very large environment like us with 300,000 devices and 100,000 FTEs, this 5 minute delta sync works perfectly, and we could get all users licensed on a regular basis. But in case if you want to stop or delay something, you can use this. Okay. With that, I'm going back to the slide. Okay. And Mark will explain about how we deployed Company Portal within Microsoft IT.
So, is everybody still with us? Okay, good, good. So, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but really everything, and I mean, it's not just because I own app in Microsoft, but everything really revolves around app for this whole user experience. So, one of the key things to give apps to the users is make sure that you've put the company portal out in your environment. I'm going to go through a few steps for the main devices that we've been talking about today so you understand kind of the flow on what you need to do to get the company portal provision out into your environment. Some of the things are Microsoft specific, and the reason is we're on a test environment for Intune. So we're not on the production environment that you guys would connect to when you subscribe. We're on an earlier release. And the design of the company portals is they're hard-coded to talk to the production environment. So we have to do a couple of things different from our side to get a company portal that works with the test environment. But I will have a chart at the end of this scripting of items that will tell you what the difference is between what we do and what you guys would do. So for Phone 8 Company Portal, we get the Phone 8 Company Portal, as I was saying, through our own internal process. You guys would actually download it from Microsoft.com. It comes in a self-extracting executable, and it actually just puts the XApp file, which is the application file for the company portal for phone, onto your desktop, and that's where you would take that content for publishing. So we get that internally. It's customized for us, so it talks to the right environment. And then you need to work with your internal app certification team, if you have one, but specifically somebody who's responsible for managing your certificates. For phone, you don't have to officially re-sign it. It's using a root Microsoft certificate that should be on all the Windows Phone devices, so it's nice that you don't have to re-sign it. In our case, we may have to, any other line of business apps that you want to deploy through the company portal, those will have to be signed with a VeriSign certificate. So that's something that you have to be aware of if you want to start publishing your own apps, even though it's internal. So we deployed the company portal, as Karthik was mentioning, through the subscription setup. You have to make sure the company portal is already an application model object in Config Manager, and we've targeted it to all users. Modern apps really are meant to be targeted to users, not devices, and especially because with the bring your own device, we don't have any record of these devices before the user goes to enroll. One of the things we noticed, if you target a collection, even though it's dynamic and it's device-based, there's still collection evaluation time. The user experience is very poor because they won't get the company portal right away on some of the devices while their machine has to fall into that collection, get a targeted policy. So if you target users right out the gate, all of those policies for all of your applications or any of your security settings and that are all available and waiting for them on the Intune side, so that as soon as they enroll a device, those policies come down as part of the initial enrollment and registration. Much better user experience. So something to keep in mind as well. So once we publish LOB apps, you have a choice of targeting them to everybody, or you may use the same way we do is some custom security groups. So you build a collection on-prem in Configuration Manager, and you put those users in there that you want to see those line of business apps. So every app you publish to the company portal doesn't have to be available to everybody. There are some applications that could be group-specific or ones that are more secure or test apps that only, you know, a small set of testers need to see. So you have that control. It's not like an all-or-nothing publishing process for the portal. You can also, now with Windows Phone 8.1, you can deploy apps as required, just like you would on-premise. The nice feature with that is we've had several users on Windows Phone 8 where if the company portal didn't happen to come down as part of their enrollment, there maybe was some glitch, there's no method for them to get the company portal after that initial enrollment phase other than unenroll and re-enroll, which is a pain. Now, if you can target the company portal as a required app to the users, it'll always make sure that it's there. Even if the user's enrolled and 3 days later they forget, what is this company portal app? I don't want this thing, and they delete it. In the old days, they were gonna have to unenroll and re-enroll. Now, this can actually push it back to their device, so even though they don't know what they were doing, the company portal will come back down. So it's another important learned lesson from our side. That's good to know. So Windows 8X company portal, there really are two versions. There's the on-premise version, which is for your fully SCCM managed clients, but there's also one that we call the hybrid version, and that would be the one that the RT devices and the non-domain join Windows PCs that are communicating to Intune, that's the one that they would use. And there is a bit of difference in the way they behave because the on-premise one talks completely with your on-premise existing Configuration Manager environment, whereas the hybrid company portal talks to the Intune environment. So that is a distinction. They're basically managed the same way, same as Windows Phone 8. You're building an application model, configuring it to point to your users, and deploying it as required. The nice thing is Windows allows you to deploy required apps right out the gate, even on RT. So company portal is not something that's for RT or Windows 8 desktops that you put in the subscription. You just build the app, and then you target it to the users that you want to get it. So after they've enrolled their devices, it will be pushed down as one of those initial required apps that comes down with their policies. For our company portal, internally, we sign it with our own internal certificate, and part of the subscription process that Karthik showed you is you're attaching that root certificate from your internal CA for the RT subscription. As long as the certificate you use to sign the company portal is a child of that main root, then it will work. It'll sideload successfully, and the users will be able to launch it. If you forget to do that, the sideloading will fail. You'll have to do some troubleshooting. And the logs sometimes don't tell you exactly why the app didn't sideload.
That's the one good part about signing Windows RT apps. You can easily get that certificate because the main root certificate is trusted. You don't have to get the child certificate used for signing the app. But for Windows Phone, you need the child certificate to be punched in the subscription page.
Last but not least, the iOS company portal. This one has a little bit of a different delivery mechanism. The portal is an IPA file. That's the typical file type for iOS. You still build it as an application model. There is a deployment type specific for iOS-based apps in Configuration Manager. But how does the user get access to that file? To get the device enrolled, you have to have the company portal. And you can't get the company portal from Config Manager or Intune until you're enrolled. So it's a whole chicken before the egg and vice versa problem. So the solution that we came up with was, let's provide a web portal page that's external facing that the users on their mobile iPad or iPhone can connect to with their corporate credentials. So it's not just open to the entire public. You guys can't, if you get the address, you can't go in and enroll your device in that environment. But it lets external users go to that page, punch in their corporate credentials using the ADFS authentication, and it basically provides them the IPA file. It's just an HTML page. They click the link, it downloads the IPA file. Their iPad asks them, are you sure you want to allow this file to install? It basically loads it on their machine. And from that point, they can launch the company portal, and they can click on add this device. And when you add this device, that basically is the enrollment process to our Intune environment. And it would be the same for you guys. They would click it, and based on the UPN, or it's usually their email address and password, it would know where to redirect them to your corporate Intune subscription and enroll their device, and then it starts working just like it does on phone or on the desktop.
So the good difference there is you will enroll the device, phone and Windows device, and then get the company portal later. But the good information about here in iOS is you will get the company portal from store, and inside the company portal, you can launch the enrollment. So it's like, you know, inside the portal, you get all this in one place.
So here's the chart I was kind of mentioning. I'm not going to go through all these settings, but basically this will show you for each of the portal types that are available for you to deploy what the difference is between what I talked about just now on how we did it versus what you guys will need to do in order to deploy them in your environment. So let's take a look at enrolling a Windows Phone 8.1 device. Okay, right now I took the password off of this device. How many people have seen the Windows Phone 8 enrollment process? How about the Windows Phone 8.1 enrollment process? How about the same number? Okay, so no one's really seen. So there was a slight difference between Windows Phone 8 and 8.1. They changed the name of the location where you go for enrollment in settings. It used to be company app, I think, and now it's called Workplace. They're trying to make it a standard across all of the devices so that it's easier for users to find, but it actually caused a bunch of even our internal users problems when they upgraded to 8.1. It's like, I want to enroll my device now, but where's this company app? I don't see it anymore. So good to know. Workplace is where you go. You basically click add an account, and I'm going to use our test account and hope that it connects. So that way, feel free to look at the password because it won't get you anywhere. So you can see that what it's done is it's done a redirection, and that's something that you'll have to set up in DNS in order to make sure that it redirects your devices to the proper Intune tenant on the back end. You want to explain to them the specific technical details on why they have to set that DNS entry?
As I mentioned before, you have to set this DNS to automatically discover the enrollment server. If you don't set this up, user will get a different screen where they have to enter the server name, and they have to remember the server name. That's not a good user experience. To avoid that, set the DNS redirection so they will automatically take into Intune enrollment server, and the enrollment server will do all kind of certificate push and everything to get the enrollment going. So right now, it's actually contacting the Intune server and getting all the certificate and also enroll the device.
So I'm sure you all saw me type the password. It's a nice, simple one that everybody can remember. But here's an important thing that we found with users. For whatever reason, install the company app is a default checkbox. And that means as part of the enrollment process, it's going to push the company portal to the device. I have no idea why some users decide that it's a great idea to uncheck this checkbox. But essentially on Windows Phone, that meant they never got the company portal. And again, on Windows Phone 8, there was no way for them to get it other than unenroll and re-enroll. Now on 8.1, because we're also targeting the company portal as a required app, even if for some reason they decide to uncheck it, it'll eventually push it down to their device once their enrollment is complete. So now it says basically that I'm enrolled, and part of this enrollment process is I'm going to communicate with Intune and start getting all of my policies. Not sure how fast this is going to work in this environment, so I'm probably not going to sit and wait. But in production, what really comes down, one of the first things that comes down in our environment is requirement to set a password. So the fact that I didn't have a password on my phone, a compliance setting that's required by our security team is make sure the user has to have at least a PIN password, and it's a complex PIN password, so you can't just do 1111 or some other 0000. They make sure it's complex, and then it starts encrypting the device. The user has no control over that. So once that policy comes down as part of an enrollment, they have to put a password in before they can do anything else. So it's not like they can just ignore it. They really have to do something before they'll have access to their device again. So it enforces and makes sure that they look after that process. So let's go back to the slide deck. These are just slides in case the demo gods weren't gracing us today. So let's talk about modern app delivery. Again, app. So we have, you know, native management of RT, phone, iOS through Intune, really Android as well. But again, we really don't have experience with that at this point, so we won't talk about it. But what happens is with the configuration manager connection to Intune, that subscription that Karthik showed you how to set up, you still are using a single pane of glass. So you're not having to use a separate Intune environment to set all this stuff up. You're just doing it through config managers just like you would for your on-prem devices. You're just building the apps, targeting them to users or devices just as you did before. This chart basically shows you some detail on what's supported with regards to app. One of the key things that Karthik and I like to point out is if you happen to be building LOB apps for iOS and you want to deploy those internally, you can't offer them in the company portal right now. And it's not a Microsoft restriction, that's an Apple restriction. They don't let you publish internal apps. You would have to get your LOB app from your company published into their store in order to then offer it as a deep link app, which you see there's a checkbox for that. The other thing that we called out was for Windows Phone 8, you can't push required LOB apps. It's strictly user selected. So you can publish it to them as available, but you can't push anything down. So that's one of the great new things that we got the product team to add for 8.1, and it will become very useful so that administrators still have a bit of control on what you want to put down on those devices that are being managed. So let me talk about quickly. We had a session earlier today, as I mentioned, and this was how we automated app publishing in our environment. So previously, we might have 4 to 6 MSI-based on-premise Windows 8 apps, Windows 7 apps that we push out in a month. But with the onset of Windows 8, and especially with Windows Phone, the modern app, all the dev teams internally, they just exploded and started building tons and tons of apps. So we're at the point where we're averaging about 60 to 70 publishing requests in a month, whereas before we were doing 4 to 6. There was no way our team was going to be able to handle this increase in load. So one of the things we did was we decided we got to find a way to automate this process. We wanted to mirror very similar for the app dev team, the experience that they already have when they publish their apps out to the Windows Store. So they didn't have to learn some new internal process that had, you know, a lot of differences between what they're already used to. So there's a group inside Microsoft that's called IT Dev Center. This team is really the application governance team. These guys are the ones that decide how the applications have to be certified before they're going to be offered to our users. They make sure these applications get signed with the proper certificate, and then they submit them to us through our ticketing system that we already had in place to manage manual requests. And that whole process then becomes an automated publishing process in the back end. So we have a few different technologies that we use for that solution, and I'm not going to go into deep on this because it really is a long explanation on how this whole automation framework works. And if you want to sit through that session, which I think a lot of people got very tired at the end of it this morning, that'll be available on the website. I'm sure it's there by now. And it gives you deep, deep, deep technical information on exactly how this entire process works end to end. Plus, we give you the code, so you can actually take it back to your test environment and mess around with it and see if it's something that works for you. We're using Team Foundation Server as our ticketing system, but technically, most of the ticketing systems like Service Manager or Action Request Remedy, those kind of things, as long as they've got some kind of API where you can communicate to their back end to pull out the metadata from the ticket, then you can modify our code to take advantage of that. You don't have to have TFS as your ticketing system. One of the great benefits of this is we were able to reduce our publishing time, which used to be 3 days for an application, and that wasn't meaning that it took us 3 days to actually publish an app, but with all of the work we do, that was the fastest SLA we were willing to offer to a requester was. Within 3 days, when you submit something, we'll turn it around and publish it into the environment. We've got that down now to 6 hours, and that 6 hours is zero touch from an admin perspective. Our team, even though we run Configuration Manager and we're responsible for all of the applications being published, 100% practically, 95% of all of the apps we publish right now, we never touch them. The whole system publishes in the background, and we spend our time just monitoring what's going on in the environment, looking for problems and stuff. But the actual day-to-day grind of publishing an application, building it, and deploying it out, we don't do that anymore. It's completely automated. This is what the high end, the 30,000 foot level view of the end-to-end workflow looks like. The app owner submits their application information to DevCenter. The DevCenter goes through all their certification process, and they assign the task to our team. Our orchestrator instance, which is the runbook, the workflow system, is basically polling our TFS environment to say, are there any new tickets that I should work on? Once it finds something that's there, it actually picks that ticket up and sticks it in process, which means both the DevCenter team finds out information that the ticket is now actively being worked on, and we also know that our runbook knows, okay, this ticket is the active ticket. Don't start installing another ticket until this one is complete. So it's a way for us to track what's going on. On the back end now on our side, we basically pull everything out of TFS, so all the application metadata. So people who are familiar with building an app model, you know, you have to give it a name and a version, an icon file, maybe a description of what the app is, keywords that the users can use for search when they go into the company portal to actually find your app. We basically take all of that data out of TFS, slap it into an XML file, and that way the orchestrator runbook and all of our PowerShell commandlets can just read that XML file repeatedly as it goes through the process of building out the application and then deploying it. One of the key fields it grabs is the activity type. So we provide several different automated activities in this system. Create and deploy a new app. Supersede an app, which means you had version one, now you want to go to version two. So the requester submits, say, here's version two. We know that we have to link those two and create supersedence rules between them. So that's available. Delete, so once the app life cycle is over and this app no longer needs to exist in the environment, we go and clean up everything, regardless of whether it's been there for like 1 month or 4 years, this will go back through the system and clean all of that stuff up. Pause and supersede was something interesting we added, and it was mainly for the scenarios where the dev team's revving these apps so fast, they send something out, and either they find a bug in their app or their back end can't handle the load of all these users who are using it, and they want to temporarily have it removed from company portal. They don't want the app deleted, unless it was a bug that they're going to replace, but they want to stop it from being visible. So adding pause basically allows us to stop the app from being visible, and then they can request, once they've fixed their problem, to turn it back on again. And it reduces the overhead of actually going all the way around and republishing everything from the beginning. It just stops the deployment temporarily and then puts it back on. Once it builds those objects, we update the TFS task again, and then we send the task back to IT Dev Center. And this is the portal where those guys are basically able to view what's going on with their app in our environment. That's the one-stop shop for the developers to actually see, okay, my app's been published, now what kind of metrics am I getting? Who's installing my app? How successful is it? Are there errors? And if there are, what should I be looking at? All of that data is also kept in the ticket so that the admins on our side can go back at any time and review that data. We're not going to have enough time to do the demo of that, but we've got the demos of how that system works in the other session. So please check that out if you're interested. And if you want to talk about it after the session, Karthik and I can hang out and talk about it a bit more.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next thing is security policies. In Microsoft IT, after we started managing all the mobile devices, the user bringing devices, it's very important for our security team to set up certain important security policies and enforce them. It would reduce the risk on managing these devices. For example, if there is a device that gets stolen or lost, we don't want this device to expose all our corporate information to outside world. So we set up some strict security policies like password policies and encryption policies. For that, we worked with security team, and then we worked with Exchange team, because Exchange can also set this policy. So you don't want to set a policy with 4-pin password through Intune and a 5-pin policy through Exchange or vice versa, there will be a conflict. And it will cause a bad user experience. So we work with them to make sure we both are in sync in setting up the policies. And also we created the policies as DCM baseline and enforced them and deployed them to users. As Mark mentioned, anything that you deploy to user has a fast delivery mechanism to go to the devices. So we used the user targeting for policies and provided some custom reports to our security team so that they can monitor the compliance of all these security policies. On the right side table, you can see what are the different types of policies we set for different devices. Okay, the next important topic is company resource access. Quite often, users will ask this question, what is that one value that I get out of enrolling my device to Windows Intune? So this particular feature, company resource access, will enable them to connect to company resources through VPN, Wi-Fi, in a secured way through certificates. So this enables them to be more productive, even if they are connected over internet and do their work without any problem. So the first and basic step is to set up the certificate, because certificate is the underlying security model behind VPN and Wi-Fi. This is quite a bit technical, because there are different components involved here. The first component is on the on-premise config manager server, which is called certificate registration point, which is like a site role, like a management point or a distribution point, like any other site role. And the next piece is to install NDES, Network Device Enrollment Service. This is a server role on the ADCA server. And this server will take responsibility of contacting CRP, which is the certificate registration point, and get the certificate for the devices. So the first touch point for devices is NDES, and that NDES server is internet facing in Microsoft IT, and it will be in your environment too. And NDES will take care of talking to CRP and tell, this is the device asking for the certificate. And CRP will go and check this certificate authority and then provide the certificate to the device. So once the NDES is put on internet DMZ server, you need to install a plugin on the NDES server for the cross communication, and also install the certificates for on both sides. On the CRP side, you have to set the root certificate of the NDES server, client-certificate, and on the CRP, on the NDES server, you have to give the certificate that CRP stores in the cert inbox. So once these certificates are provided on both sides, both servers will start communicating and trusting each other and start communicating. The URL that's provided at the top, it's the internet-facing URL. That's the URL client will be touching first to get a request for the certificate. So in case if there is a problem, you can try to run that URL and see whether that URL is resolving or not. So for the troubleshooting purposes, whenever there is, after we set up the CRP and NDES, you may need to know whether the certificates are getting really pushed to the devices or not. The runtime log is CRP log, which will be like this, and which will tell whether the device is contacting, whether the CRP is able to contact NDES to get the certificate, and if there are some failures, this particular log will tell you whether there is some error or not. And for the setup, for setup of CRP, there are a couple of logs like CRP MSI log and CRP setup log. And apart from logs, you can also find the status of certificates in a SQL table called MDM CRP request, which will have all the information about the certificate request and the status, the latest status of whether the device was successfully received the certificate or failed to receive the certificate or couldn't talk to CRP or NDES. All information is logged in there through status codes. So SCIP certs, the SCIP certs, it's using the protocol called Simple Certificate Enrollment Protocol. So that's why we call it a SCIP cert. So in Microsoft IT, our security team wants to store TPM-based certificates on TPM chip and non-TPM-based certificates on the soft store, which is Cert Manager. So for Windows 8.1, which is by default having the TPM cert, and also in Windows Phone 8, we push the TPM cert. And for 8.1 Windows devices, we push both TPM and non-TPM. Because unfortunately in Microsoft, there's different types of devices. Some of them are TPM enabled, some of them are non-TPM enabled. Because we have many devices coming re-imaged and then re-refreshed also. So we have different types of devices. That's why we have both categories there. For iOS, we push non-TPM cert. I'll quickly tell how we manage this. On the right side, you could see a key storage provider in the Config Manager UI. That is the place that determines whether the cert has to go to TPM or not. In this case, for TPM, we use the second option, which will be, I'll read it. It's install it in the TPM chip, otherwise fail. Don't fall over to cert store. And for the for non-TPM certs, we will directly write it into the cert store. And due to these security reasons, there is a threshold that we set up for certificate renewal. Our certificates currently, we are using a 14 days renewal time, and we want these certificates to get renewed at around 92%, which is pretty much every alternate day, the certificate will get renewed, to make sure the certificate is always up to date. And I can show that in the same screen, the third box there will show the renewal threshold, which you can set to set more aggressively or less aggressively based on your needs. And as usual, you can also deploy a root cert and then set the individual SCIP cert. The root cert is important because all the child certs will be trusted by that root cert. And in the cert UI, you can mention whatever the child cert that you are deploying to. You can mention which root certificate you want to trust and make sure the entire chain gets trusted. Okay. On the VPN profiles, we'll have a couple of demos also to show how the VPN profiles work. But we wanted to show or tell how we deployed it. So right now, for VPN profiles, are the VPN radius servers in Microsoft IT being managed completely by VPN team. We don't own that because it's a different technology altogether. And we use split tunnel for VPN, MSIT VPN, and we use different technologies for different connection. For Windows Phone Blue, we use IPv2 and TLS, and for Windows, we use automatic and PEEP. And other third-party connections are also possible. I know this sounds like Greek and Latin, because for Configuration Manager admins, it is very difficult to understand this technology because this is altogether different expertise. We are also on the same page. That's why we leverage the expertise of our VPN team and let them decide, let them approve all kind of VPN settings, and we deploy it through Config Manager. And VPN, if the VPN profiles can use username, password connection, or a cert connection. If you want to set up the cert connection, you can associate a VPN profile using the EKU, the extended key usage. For example, in the VPN profile there, if you click on the advanced, you can see the client authentication. For example, it's a Microsoft that I provided. That is the certificate that will be trusted on the device to use the VPN profile. I will show you on the actual phone side how the VPN profile and the certificates are linked inside. One other point to mention there is the SKEP certs and VPN profiles are installed asynchronously. Though they are linked inside the profile, both these are going asynchronously. So you may get a VPN profile first, then the cert, or a cert can come first, then the VPN profile. But there won't be much of a lag there. It'll be like 3 minutes or 4 minutes lag. But within the 3 minutes, if a user tries to connect, the certificate won't be there, and it won't get connected. The VPN profile won't get connected. And we have got a couple of user feedback from there, like why am I not able to connect to VPN? At the back end, the certificate was missing within the 3 or 4 minutes time. And in Microsoft IT, we have many different sites with different FQDN, different DNS servers. So to need to have a single sign-on, we used the DCM settings and deployed some IE settings using DCM to trust all these FQDNs so that the user's username will be automatically trusted across all these sites. So you can use the same DCM settings for IE. And there is a feature, if setting up these settings are very confusing, you can also use a import VPN profile feature. So for Windows devices, you can get the VPN setting in the XML format, and there is a cool feature like import it, and it's going to take care of all the settings at the back end. And that XML will be pushed down for the devices to get the VPN connection. So you don't need to set up anything. I will show that in the demo. And also we have smart card and phone auth for Windows devices, which means a smart card can also be used, or a phone auth, which means a user will be getting a phone call whenever there is a VPN connection needed. And all these profiles, we are still evaluating aggressively within Microsoft IT environment. Very soon, we will be deploying this to production across entire Microsoft. And we provided custom reports, like here, even for like settings management, we provided custom reports. And this is one of the custom reports that we built. So it will tell you how many percentage of machines or devices are compliant for VPN profile, how many of them are pending to get, how many of them are actually failing. And as I mentioned, the phone auth will use the phone connection. So it's totally a different server at the back end, which is also maintained by the VPN team. Let me quickly touch on the Wi-Fi profile, because we didn't do anything much on the Wi-Fi profile, because we already have the Wi-Fi profile broadcasted within Microsoft buildings. So there was no need for us to send a different VPN profile through Intune. So we worked with the network team, found the SSID, and deployed it for testing purposes only. So we didn't do anything much on Wi-Fi. So our goal is to have all users in Microsoft IT, when they bring their own device, they have to enroll their device within Intune to get their VPN profiles and Wi-Fi profiles in a secured way. That way, we make sure the information is protected when they connect through VPN. And also, the VPN certs and Wi-Fi profiles are targeted to users, because once I target that to users, no matter what type of device, the certificate and VPN profile will be pushed. So we don't have to have a separate collection, separate different type of deployments for different devices. Okay, before going to the demo, this is one other remote access, company resource access feature we are actively working on. This particular feature is very interesting because suppose if I am there outside on a weekend, not having company access at all, and suddenly I get some important work, so I have to connect to office machine to do that work, and I don't have the VPN profile, or for some reasons the VPN profile is not working, but I still want my work to be done by remote connecting to the machine. So you can do that by going to the company portal, which Mark showed, where you see all the apps. You will also see the PCs that are managed by Configuration Manager. So you cannot remote into another tablet or a phone, but you can remote into your PC that's managed by Configuration Manager and it's inside Office. And what are the devices that will be shown on your company portal? You will be seeing not only the Windows Intune Enroll devices, you will be seeing the devices that are linked with your user account using user device affinity. In Microsoft IT, we set the primary user association for if a user is logged in for 48 hours within 21 days. So it will the remote connect profile will look like this. And if you go to that PC, you will be seeing that remote connect remote desktop icon, which you will not see in any other devices. So how we deployed, we have to find the RDG server and set up the profile called remote connection profile, and which will enable the RDP if it is not enabled, and then also provide the access to that user so that he can log into the device. So this is how the simple, it's a very simple remote connection profile. It just needs the URL for the RDG server, which is remote desktop gateway server. And we have piloted with phone factor authentication, which means user will get a call during the when he tries to connect to the machine. And this particular feature is not yet scoped for Windows Phone 8.1, which works only for Windows and RT devices. Okay. Since we are running out of time, I don't know that we can show the demo or not, but there are some more things to be shown, like what kind of reports we have and what are the lessons learned. Probably we can go over that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll be quick. This is an example, basically, of once you get your devices enrolled in the system, using standard the SQL backend, the data is all there for you to report on your devices. So we've built out some custom reports in our environment, similar to stuff that you guys would do in yours for management or even for your admins to know. These are kind of the total devices that have been enrolled at any given time. Here's some information we have built basically for each of the different types of user-facing company portals or even the application catalog for your on-premise Windows 7 machines. We actually are showing how many times some user's gone in and requested an application on a given day so we can track the history if the usage is going up or down or if there's something wrong with the service because all of a sudden nobody's installing any apps on phone. We definitely know something's wrong. We can track, you know, what are the top 10 apps or top apps or important apps that your users are downloading. All of this data is in the Configuration Manager database. So it's something that Config Manager admins are already used to collecting and presenting for management. So even though you're now using modern devices, there's nothing really new for you to do. If you're already doing this kind of reporting for your applications, you can do it for the devices. It looks like we got a question. Go ahead and shoot.
Yeah, what's the user experience if the phone is lost or they choose to leave the company? So what happens to the phone and the data?
So we've used role-based access control on the Config Manager side to lock down to make sure that not everybody in the organization can go ahead and wipe a device or retire a device. But there are a certain set of users where the security team can send a request to us and basically say, for this device, for this user, either the device was lost, we want you to wipe it. So when you send a wipe command to the device, the next time it communicates to the to your Intune service, it will actually reset it to factory defaults. Or there's a retire function, And across the devices, there are some differences on what retire means, but basically it removes it from having enrollment to your service and stops any of your applications from functioning, and including if they had an email connection back to Exchange, it would break that connection as well, so email is lost. It doesn't reset the device. It doesn't force the device for the user to lose, you know, all of his personal apps or his personal email settings, photos and stuff like that. It just takes all of the organization's information and access to your organization and removes that from the device.
And that's called a selective wipe. It removes everything that came through Intune. For example, apps, policies, VPN profiles, certificates, anything related to Intune will be removed automatically when you do the retire command.
So this slide really covers kind of our learnings and the actions that you need to use. We've covered most of these while we were discussing. Good just for review if you want to take it back home with you. These slides are available. All these decks are available to you guys. We had some learned lessons. I'll call out the one that we mentioned at the beginning. The reason why the Apple devices are so low is that when we went to pilot this, one of our admins used his personal iTunes account to get the Apple push notification certificate. And that certificate is used for the devices when they enroll. Well, obviously that guy doesn't work in our team anymore, and now we still need to renew the certificate after a year. So the only option at this point is to actually have all the users unenroll their devices and re-enroll now with a certificate obtained with a team iTunes account. So good call out for you guys to know, even though you're piloting something and your admin may use his own account to get it done, don't go to production with it. Make sure you get a different certificate. So the question was, if you had to change certificates, would you have to do that? For the Windows platform, no, there's not a re-enrollment requirement. And for iOS, hopefully you don't have a reason that you need to change the Apple push notification certificate, but if you did at this point, that really is your only option, because that's the certificate that Apple wakes up the device with to tell it, hey, go talk to these guys and find out what you're supposed to do.
But to add to that, for Windows Phone 8, based on your request, Verizon will give 1 year time period or 2 years time period. After 2 years time period, if the certificate gets expired, you need to update the AET again, meaning or the certificate again on all the devices.
Yeah. So hopefully we kept you awake the whole time. If there's questions, Karthik and I are more than happy to answer after the session. And even tonight, if everybody's going to the after party, we'll be out there hanging around, and we're more than happy to answer questions at any point. This is the session where we went deep dive into how we automated app publishing. So if somebody's interested in that, please go out and get that. There's a lot of cool detail in that session. And that's it. Thank you very much for attending.